Oh, good morning. If we would take the opportunity now, there's a song that I would like the congregation to sing this morning as I kind of meditate up here and prepare for what God has laid in my heart. 807, Melvin, would you lead that and maybe rise to sing that and sing that with reverence? Sing that the way, just the way the melody is supposed to. Sing it with reverence. Is that possible?
Actually,
999. Yeah, whichever one it is. Just though that song is has a special place in my heart, especially this morning. Amen. Thank you for that. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, please. Dear kind Heavenly Father, we do bow here before you this morning. We do thank you, Lord, for that perfect peace that is available. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided so we can have that perfect peace. So, Father, this morning we pray for strength, we pray for courage as we endeavor to lift up your word today. And meditate on your word and just pray for wisdom that you would lead, guide, and direct my lips that I can say the things that you want me to say this morning. Lord God, we just pray for the congregation here as they hear that they can be benefited by what you have laid in my heart this morning. Thank you and we love you and ask these favors and blessings in Christ's name. Amen. I welcome each and everyone that's here this morning, visitors. There's a few strange faces in here that I never saw before. I trust that today that you will go home encouraged. Encouraged not because I'm standing here, encouraged because the Word of God is alive and it brings forth peace. And that's what I want to endeavor to do today, is bring it forth in a way that you can find rest in it. This morning, I was touched and meditated on Brother Jerry. Thanks, Brother Jerry, for that message. As he said about that little girl that jumped in bed to try to avoid that bear from coming out from underneath the bed and grabbing her legs, there was a question that came in my heart and my mind this morning. And I'm going to ask you that question now. Is there a bear in your life? That's a sobering question. The day that we live in, is there a bear in your life? And we could go on and we can talk about what kind of bears that can be in a Christian's life. You can call it what you want. You can call it a bear, you can call it a giant, you can call it what you want. But this morning that came to my mind while Jerry was speaking about the bear under the bed. Is there a bear under your bed? I want to take this time to thank the church that prayed for us in the last several weeks. We felt the prayers. Without the prayers, I don't think that it would have been possible to go through some of the things that we went through, some of the things we endured, especially the 14-hour plane ride. That's not getting a lot better. I don't know as it can. I don't know as any of the group, by the way, any of the group that's here, I say thank you for going with us. Thank you for sharing that time with us there on that island. It was, again, a very encouraging time. Thank you for praying. I calculated, I'm not sure if I'm right, I think if I didn't calculate all the miles, but I think we traveled around anywhere from 22,000 to 28,000 miles in the last 4 or 5 weeks. And only by the grace of God. Is that possible? And we felt that. Amen, Melvin? We felt the grace of God. Praise God for it. Just a little bit on that before I go into the message. There's lots of good things happening there. And I believe there is a lot more going to happen. When I say, notice how I said a lot more good things. I do believe there's a lot more good things going to happen, but I believe there's also some bad things going to happen. That's a little bit negative, but we have an enemy. We have an enemy that's out there, and he's well, and he's alive, and he's healthy. I don't know if he ever gets sick. In the prison, I gotta move on. I'm gonna move rather rapidly through this. But in the prison there are 262 inmates there now. And when I first began to minister there, there was 130. And it's the same building. So you can kind of envision what it's like in there. You'll never really realize what it's like in there till you were there. Until you experienced it. It's hot. It's very hot in there. I don't know. We didn't have a thermometer in there, but I would guess it's anywhere from 95 to 100 in there. I would guess. In fact, there's one white man passed away in there because of the heat several weeks ago. I knew that man very well. He was a man that was very hard, very, very close to the Word. And if nothing changed, the time he took his last breath, today, he's in eternity, somewhere. But we don't meditate on those things. We think of those things, but we don't stay there. Because that suppresses, that oppresses. And that's not what I'm here today. I'm here today to lift you up. And I'm not sure of how many believers we have in there. Somewhere between 10 and 15, somewhere. It's hard to know where they're all at, but we do know that there are at least six that have dedicated their life unto the Lord Jesus Christ in a mighty way. In a mighty way. Especially our interpreter, Imar. He fascinates me more every time I go. And he is pretty confident that he's going to get out coming November 15th, somewhere in that time. And I say woe unto the island when Imar gets out. And pray for him that he can continue on to be on fire and bring forth the gospel the way he is in the prison. He is effective in there in a mighty way. The young people did lots of singing in the prison. There were two new converts. One's name was JR. And I don't know, Francis is the other one. Francis was a miracle that beyond my comprehension. We walked in there, and the first day I saw this man, and by the way, he's blind, and he's 84 years old. And according to the other believers in that prison, they have classified him as hopeless. No more chance of conversion. In fact, he was in the cell where they hold the gaze. That's another story that we're not going to talk about a lot. Not at all, probably. It's not edifying. Well, maybe we'll a little bit. There is one of those in there that is thinking about changing his mind. He openly confesses that he was gay. And he openly confesses that it's not right. So he's been talking. We have been able to talk with him. That's a blessing to begin with, to be able to talk, be able to reason, and be able to see a change starting to take forth. Praise God. I told Imar that just continue to preach the gospel to that man. He's going to get saved. I have confidence. He just has that demeanor about him today. But anyhow, Carlos is in there in that same pen, and I don't know why. By the way, I call these pens. They're really cells, but I call them pens, and I can't get that away because it's literally a pen. It's literally like a pig pen to a degree. So I just call them pens, but bear with me. They have Carlos in there. Carlos was the one that got converted when Marlon was there the last time. Carlos was the one, he shared his testimony with me, and this is a powerful testimony. I said, yeah, you were the one with the keys. Every time there's an inmate wanted to come out, you would come in while we were preaching, and you would come let inmates out. Yes, he says, I was the one with the keys. But I said, I always thought that you weren't listening. He said, yes, but I was. And when Marlon was there the last time is when he finally gave up. And now they put him in the pen with the gays. But he's in there for a reason. He's in there for a reason. Never forget, God makes no mistakes. So now I walk in there, and he's in there. And the blind man, 84 years old, is in there. And they have two bunk beds, three tiers high, I think it is. And he's on the bottom bunk bed, just plywood with one pillow. And and most of the time when I get in there, he was clutching to the bedpost like this, with his eyes closed. And every now and then they would help him lay down with put his head on the pillow. And for some reason, I kept close eye on this man. I'm not sure why. Yeah, I do know why. Because it touched my heart. And they was telling me there's no hope for him. And I was saying, God, there is hope for him. And I was praying that God would come down and somehow reach that old man and save him. They would feed him. He couldn't even eat himself. So I asked Carlos one day, do you ever talk to him? He said, oh, yes, I do, but he don't comprehend. I said, I don't believe that. I just told Carlos, I don't believe that. And I was right. I get my days mixed up. It don't really matter. But a couple days later, we walked in there and this blind man is not sitting in the bed. Somehow, he convinced someone to bring a chair in that cell, that pen. And he had it sitting in the corner and he was sitting on it. And that struck me a little bit funny. Why did he come out of that bed and why is he sitting in that chair? But God was speaking in this man's heart. And then Carlos was standing there and they were singing in the other aisleway. And Carlos was standing there listening. And all of a sudden this old man started reaching up toward Carlos. And I said, Carlos, he wants to tell you something. Carlos said, I said, what does he want to say? So Carlos went down the list and he come back up just nonchalant like, he just wants to talk about his old life. No, I said, he wants to tell you something. And he kept reaching. He kept reaching. They were in there singing at this time. And I said, no, Carlos, you need to pay attention. This man has something to tell you. None of the young people in there singing knew what was happening, but this man was coming to redemption. I said, listen to what he has to say. And they were speaking in their language, and finally Carlos came up. He said, James, he's repenting. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it wasn't long, he was standing up. He was no longer sitting in the chair, he was standing up and his hands clutched to the bars. And he was weeping. Blind and 84 years old. And God saved his soul right there. Without a doubt. By that time, his hands were out through the bars. By this time, the young man was up there around that cell singing to this man, and his hands were out shaking each other, shaking our hands. Blind and 84 years old and hopeless? No. Absolutely no. Never believe that for a moment. Never believe it for a moment. Because God is able to save the uttermost. And that's the uttermost. Amen? That's the uttermost. The next day we came there, he was sitting on the bed and they were in there singing. And by the way, I don't believe, this is where I want to inject something in here, the power of singing. I believe what brought that man to repentance was the singing. Because the preaching was muffled into that area where they were preaching and he did not hear the preaching. I am convinced he did not hear the preaching. So the next day I went in there and Carlos was sitting in that bed with his hands clutched to the post and these young people started singing and guess what happened? He gets up and he walks over to the bars and stands there with his hands on the bars. The singing is what brought that man to redemption. And he didn't understand the words. You get what I'm trying to say? He didn't understand a word that was being sung. It was the singing Praise God. JR, another one, another young man, was struggling in there for day one we got there. Probably 25, 26 years old, I didn't ask him. We fed them on Saturday evening. And when JR walked back into the cell, by the way, there's a lot I could share how we do things there, but that's beside the point. You just need to go with me sometime and you'll find out. You'll find out. And they were walking in, and JR walks by me, and he takes my hand and he shakes it, and I said, JR, have you decided? He said, no, not yet. And I said, JR, do not put it off. And he went back into the cell. The next afternoon we got there, JR was by the bars. He said, James, I found victory last night. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Carlos and Mock J is another believer in there. Carlos and Mock J both got baptized while we were there. Beautiful. Beautiful testimony there. Just going to give you a little story on that a little bit. The enemy, the power that the enemy thinks he has. And sometimes we're convinced, brothers and sisters, that he has power. Amen. Well, I'm here to tell you today, he has no power. If the Lord Jesus Christ is well and alive in your heart, he has no power. Tries. But anyways, we asked the lady warden if we could do a baptism, and she said no, just like that. No. There's no more baptisms going to take place in this prison. Because the hierarchy said that they outlawed it. And I said, really? Well, that's kind of strange. But anyways, we left it. There was nothing to change her mind. But I wasn't satisfied with that. I waited a few days, and then the hierarchy came in. One of the higher ones above her. And James and I, by the way, is James here? Back there he sits. Thank you for being support there, brother. It was a blessing. So James and I asked if we could talk to him. By the way, the lady that told us that we could, the lady warden that said we could not baptize, was not there. And this guy is not, by far, not friendly at all. And it's a different one that we normally deal with and talk to. But he's not friendly at all. So we asked Imar if we could talk to him. And Imar went and told him, and he came in. He was out on the basketball court there. Came in and he sat down in his chair. And he looks up, what do you want? I said, well, sir, we have a request. And by this time, you have no idea how we was feeling because, yeah, we'll just keep going. We told him there's a convert in the prison named Carlos, and he desires baptism. Would you consider allowing us to baptize him? And what came out of his mouth, I couldn't believe. Only thing that came out of his mouth was yes. That's the only thing he could say. Because God was in control. We asked no further questions. We just said, thank you, sir. We appreciate that. May God bless you. And he shook her hand. He says, do what you got to do. And by the way, then Mock Jay came forth and he wanted to be baptized too. So we had two baptisms. They're beautiful. All the inmates come out on the basketball court. Maybe not all of them, but most of them. 98% come out on the basketball court and witness that baptism. Powerful testimony. And those two men shared their testimony there before baptism. I don't know what they were saying. Imar was trying to translate, but soundly converted. and have taken the step that possibly they will be, it will be some persecution involved for those men someday. Maybe right in there. So anyway, that's just, and then of course there was another thing that took place. We had a wedding. I don't know if I can go into, I can't go into all those details. There's no way that time would allow, but we had a wedding. Jonathan and Lisa. Marlon knows them very well. Thank you, Brother Marlon, for witnessing to them. Jonathan was a drunk. Drunk all the time. Right, Marlon? Drunk all the time for the most, yeah. We would take him out of his bedroom, try to stand him up, try to talk some sense into him. And it was, by the way, we thought it was hopeless. Again, no. He got saved. His wife got saved. But now we have a dilemma that we didn't know about. I didn't know about it now. I don't know when we found it out. But they were together for 20 years and 9 children, and they're not married. And they're not married. That's a dilemma. Now they're saved. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? They have to get married. For them to separate is going to be, that wasn't an option. So we had a meeting with them, with Pastor Walter. By the way, Pastor Walter is a fine, fine young man that is, for the most part, has the fundamentals right. We're dealing on a few more, but he's doing well. We had a meeting with him, and he asked them, what about marriage? And they hesitated not. We want to be married. 4 days later, 5 days later, we had a wedding. And they are married. Pastor got done marrying them there. He said, now, you two can give your first legal kiss. Beautiful sight. Beautiful sight. I'll never forget it. Never forget it. So that's a little bit what's going on there. It's not near done yet. I'm not sure how to continue on there for sure. But the Lord will provide. He has so far, and He will continue. There's no question in my mind. I have learned to trust in the Lord. This morning, if there's a bear in your life, by the way, that's not the title of my message. But it could be. I have some news for you. And I'm going to read it from the scriptures this morning for you. Let's talk about the bear of discouragement this morning, maybe. Maybe you are discouraged for some reason or the other. I can tell you that I was in the past several weeks with all the things that was before us. When Steve asked me to preach a message this morning, I was right there a little bit discouraged. And I said, me, not me. But you know what? God will provide. I can't tell you that I'm standing here this morning functioning 100%. I think I flew into Fort Wayne last night at around 10 o'clock. So, but God again was able. He is able. He is able, and we're going to read a little bit about that today. And I'm sure that, and the only thing that I'm going to endeavor to do today here is to lift you up and encourage you. And the only way that I can do that is go into the Word of God. And then I'll have no problem to encourage you. And I'm going to read several verses today. And I probably will not stop and talk on a lot of them, maybe some. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, you can try to keep up with me, but I'm going to move on through these verses. Maybe someone will stop and talk a little. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. What? Comfort one another. Does that sound like an individualist? No. Comfort one another. Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Today I would like your strength to be renewed and your encouragement to come alive and lay aside that bear of discouragement. Because you'll come out and grab your leg and he'll take you down and devour you. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and faint not. And faint not. Are you in a fainting position today? Are you in the verge of fainting because of something? And I'll just let that all, I'll let that something just hang out there. I'll just maybe use that, the bear. Thank you, Jerry. You brought something in my message here. I believe that fits. Isaiah 43, 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When I'm flying over the skies 9,000 miles, I'll be with you. When you're going into Fort Wayne to maybe witness to some hard individual, God will be with you. We go on and bring in the play there a lot of things. But let's stay in the scriptures. And through the rivers, and they shall... No, I'm wrong. And they shall mount up as wings... No, excuse me. They shall not overflow thee when thou walkest through the fire. Thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever you go. Deuteronomy 31:8, and the Lord, he is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, and be not dismayed. Second Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. We could take some of these words and we can dialect them and we could talk about them. Comfort. I don't believe that's talking about going to bed and covering up with a nice, having a nice, I don't believe that's what that's talking about. Comfort. Who comforted us in all our tribulations, in all our trials, in all the things that we go through that are not that pleasant. He comforted us in all those times that we may, listen to this, that we may be able to comfort those by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. Just imagine that everyone in here. Try to imagine with me everyone in here this morning, or say half of them. that would be disgruntled. Maybe dealing with something that's just unpleasant. And we're letting it bring us down. You're in no position to pick up the rest. Amen? What's it going to do if half of them are down and out? The chances are that the rest of them are going to start suppressing. No, it's not the heart of God. The heart of God is that we be lifted up and be comforted so we can comfort those that are less comfort. Amen? Praise God for His Word this morning. Matthew 11:28, very familiar verse, but it's a comforting verse. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. First Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the Lord. For insomuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. What comforting words. Abound in the work of the Lord. Be steadfast and be unmovable. Psalms 121, verse 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's what I'm endeavoring to do today with the Word of God, is to lift you up today. If you're struggling with something today, don't struggle no more. Don't struggle no more. Because I tell you, that'll take you in a pit. And it'll take you so deep into that pit that you have almost no way to get out. But I tell you, there is a way. If you're there today, I don't trust that anyone in here today is struggling in that way. But if you are, get up and get out and be steadfast and unmovable. Because the enemy, he wants you there. He wants you in that pit of discouragement. He don't want you to be encouraged, because he's losing out if you are. He's losing out. Praise God, he's losing out. If he loses one soul, he done lost out. Amen. But we as brothers and sisters need to be encouraged to step up and be steadfast and unmovable in the work of the Lord. Psalms 38:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee the way that thou should go. I know that we have to make plans to go. but just make plans to go. And then he will instruct thee and direct your path. And I will guide thee with mine eye. Can you just vision God? You're lifted up, no discouragement, and you have decided to go to Fort Wayne or go to your neighbor, and God with his eye guiding you. Beautiful scene. Psalm 31:24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen you. By the way, I think the title for my message should be Encouragement and Strength for the Church. And I'm not just talking about, yes, I am talking about this body, but not just about this body. But you're here today and you're hearing. So it is for this church today that you can be lifted up and encouraged and strengthened. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. That's a key, brothers and sisters. Do you have peace this morning? Or is that bear of unrest? And in the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Question: have you overcome the world today? First Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit like men and be strong. Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff comfort me. You may be sitting in here today and you may be saying, it's not for me. This is where I'm at. I have this big old looming problem, whatever it may be. Maybe you're, and I'm not saying this that I know anything, but maybe your marriage is just something not quite going right. And that has a tendency of bringing it down. I don't trust anybody in here has that problem. Or maybe you're sitting in here, and I say this carefully, maybe you're sitting in here and you have a financial situation that you're dealing with. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, God can take care of that too. But you need to let him. You need to let him. Don't try to handle it yourself. It'll get worse. I can testify to that. Let God deal with it. Between you and him, you can overcome that, whatever it may be. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. So God tells us not to let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's encouraging. When we can just take our whatever we have facing us today. I don't know what you're facing. I don't. But I do know what some of the things I faced in the past. Even after I was walking with God, I know what I faced. Even on the journey to the Philippines, you face a lot of things. Heat beyond measure. Amen. Sweat the minute you get out of bed. Wringing wet sweat the minute you get out of bed. You just want to. But God is able even to take those matters into His hands and help you through it. Second Corinthians 4:17, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment. Just a moment, brothers and sisters, that is all. If you let it just be for a moment. He says, just for a moment. But men and women, they heap them up on themselves and take them on for days. For days. Like the blind man, I would say he heaped them things up on him for 84 years to where he got blind. And it got as able at that point. Set his feet on the rock. Luke 12:6-7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthing, and not one of them is forgotten by God? Not one of them. And He's not going to forget you either. He's not going to forget you either. But even as the very hairs of your head are all numbered, fear not therefore, you are of more value than the sparrow. So do you think today that you're valuable today? In God's eyes, there's no number can be placed on the value of you according to God. You're valuable. And God wants you to walk in peace, in harmony, and in comfort, and in encouragement. He didn't make you to be discouraged. He didn't design your bodies to be discouraged. There's a few testimonies I would like to share on that, but I don't feel that I am. I have time, and I don't feel that I just battle on someone that just gives up. I know of a young man right now, and I'm not mentioning names. You would not know him if I did. But I was listening in the last couple of days. Good friends of ours, and I don't know what's going on. But I was talking to his dad and mom the other night for a long time. And they were telling me the condition of their son. Their son has no desire anymore to get out of bed. And I know this son. He was very active. He's going to the doctor. And the doctors take this test, and they take this test, and they take this test, and all the tests come back negative. They're still going to the doctor. I'm not here to tell you that this man's not saved. He was walking with the Lord. I don't know what happened. They can't find nothing wrong with him. He basically is going to lose his job over it. One day he was in his job, he does computer work, and he messed up the computer so bad that they don't even know if they ever got it corrected. It has affected his mind that he doesn't function properly. I don't understand that. Why would a Christian? I'm going to lay this question on your laps today. And if you can come up and tell me and give me an explanation for this, I'd be glad to receive it. But how can a Christian, one that is unmovable, steadfast in the work of the Lord, come into that condition? How is that possible? When we read all the verses this morning, that God is here to lift you up and set your feet on the rock of Jesus Christ and is able to help you keep it there. And we let ourselves get in that condition. I don't understand that, brothers and sisters. Help me through it. Help me understand it. I don't. When we have a God that is so mighty and so powerful, and we read about it this morning, amen. We read about it this morning. We read about his power. Did we read? Can we find verses in the Bible with Satan's power that away? I don't think so. With this mindset, what we read, can I tell you this with confidence that Satan is powerless? Powerless. So what happens? Brothers and sisters, I don't trust that anybody sitting in this room would ever let themselves get in that position. But it's very obvious it's possible. But I don't know why. I don't know how. So this morning, there was a lot. There's a lot, by the way, there's a lot more verses yet that could go on to this. We could go on all day and talk about verses from the scriptures that talk about encouragement and strength. I'm going to close with a verse from Luke 7. And you probably heard this verse many, many times. Maybe I even close with this verse before, I'm not sure. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, I will liken to you unto a man who he is like. He is like a man which built his house and he dig deep. And he laid the foundation on the rock. Maybe that's the reason that a man can get in that position. He hasn't laid the foundation. He hasn't dug deep enough and got his foundation on the rock. And the winds came. And they beat vehemently upon that rock or on that man, and he fell. Maybe, I don't know. Just laying that out there to you. But the Bible says that the winds beat vehemently upon that house, and what does it say? And it could not shake it. Does that sound like movable? No. That sounds like steadfast and unmovable. And it is. It just doesn't sound like it. It is, brothers. It is. Sisters. That is steadfast and unmovable. That is where you want to be. That is where you'll find comfort. That is where you'll be able to tackle the bear. And that is where you'll have victory. In no other place will you have victory over the bear. Maybe the foundation isn't laid. I don't believe that I'm preaching to a group of people that don't have it laid. I don't believe that. I believe you have. Stay there. I trust today that you were lifted up and not depressed. I'm sure you wasn't. By the way, if anything was said here today that would have a tendency of pulling you down, that's not where I wanted to go at all. I wanted to lift you up. Because the kingdom of heaven needs you to be lifted up high on the throne, so there can be more 84-year-old blind men and JRs and just put everywhere you want there can be saved. There'll be no benefit to them if you're depressed, if you're down and out and discouraged. Encouragement is what God wants from you today. And I trust that you have that today. Trust that if you are struggling in something, that you was lifted up out of that. May God bless you, and thank you for listening.